Hello, everybody. Thanks for downloading You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. This episode was recorded live at the Wonderland Ballroom, and it's a very fun episode. I'm really, really happy with how this episode turned out, and I'm glad that you've downloaded it. But because we have other shows, I need to plug those at the top. This Saturday, November 16th, You, Me, Them, Everybody Lives records in New Orleans as part of the Hell Yes Fest. So if you're in New Orleans, please come to that. We're at the New Movement Theater on Saturday night. The following Saturday, November 23rd, we'll be at the Creek in the Cave in New York City, and I love this venue, and you should come to this venue, and it's a free recording, and we're recording Holiday-ish Part 3, our annual holiday record. It's going to be like something like 20 comics doing funny things and blah, blah, blah. We finally end the month on Friday, November 29th at the Hungry Brain. We finally go back to Chicago. I've said finally too many times, so without further ado, here's You, Me, Them, Everybody live recorded at the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C.
Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody, everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby, and you're currently listening to a show that is being recorded in the Wonderland Ballroom in Washington, D.C. It's our first show here in a month because we've done other stuff. And directly to my left, and for the listener at home, you need to know the directions of everyone I point to. So directly to my left is this wonderful person named Sadie Dingfelder. Now, Sadie is a wonderful musician, and she's played the show twice, once as the house band and once as a musical guest. And the last time was in February of 2011, and she was playing violin. Almost 3 years later, she's back with a banjo and a mic. Not a banjo. Holy shit, I'm an idiot. A ukulele, which is remarkably easier to play than a banjo. It is.
There's a banjo lele too.
Is there really?
Yeah.
Who plays that?
Yeah, my boyfriend.
Your boyfriend plays that? We'll find out after the show when it's not being recorded. You're going to play a song first, and then we're going to start with the stuff that's in theory going to be entertained. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Sadie, everybody.
If Navyard were in high school, he'd sit in the front row. When the teacher asked a question, the answer he would know. He would pull up shirts and blue jeans and press them every day. But when Navyard comes a-calling, the cool kids say no way. Navyard, you try too hard. Navyard, you played that card with your picture-perfect parks. Outdoor movie, edgy arts. You're really just Ballston at heart. You used to be real seedy with strip clubs and sex shows. A good place to buy lots of drugs, not that we would know. But when the ballpark came to town, the smut it had to go. Now yuppies live in condos where they used to buy their blow. Navyard, you try too hard. Navyard, you played that card with your picture-perfect parks, outdoor movie, edgy arts. You're really just Ballston at heart. There are luxury apartments with sleek, chic, one-word names. But say what you will, you're not Capitol Hill. So let's stop playing games. Navyard, you try too hard. Navyard, you've played that card with your picture-perfect parks, outdoor movie, edgy arts. You're really just Ballston at heart.
For the listener at home, Navyard is... Ooh, this is going to be weird. Navy Yard. I didn't think it would get weird this quick. It's an area in Washington, D.C. It's where the Washington Nationals play. And if you're not from here, you will know it as where tragedies happen. And CNN just comes on the air for 24 hours so happy that there's a tragedy happening there. So that's what that is. Sadie has an entire collection of songs about Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Three.
That's a collection. That's an E... One more, and that's an EP. Currently, it's a single. You know what a maxi single is?
No.
I used to go to Disco Round in Melrose Park in Illinois and buy used Foo Fighters bootlegs to get the song How I Miss You. You can now download that for free. Anyways, yeah, the show. We're here. We're doing it. Thank you so much. That was delightful. She'll be here all night. She is our house band, our normal house band, Ian. He is currently getting sued by Sugar Ray for stealing all of their music for the past 2 years. It's funny because somebody in Sugar Ray is getting sued right now. I'm incredibly tired, and I'm very, very sorry to say that I'm tired. I'm very, very happy to be here. This is a weird thing. I want to be here. This is the best place in the world. Well, not this place. That's weird if that's like the best place in the world. It's a pretty good place. Don't worry about it. I mean, Dario, who works here, he does not want to live here. That would be very weird for him. Is that fair, Dario? Fair enough. Okay, but it's not a bad place. But when I'm here, when I'm doing this, when I get to do this in front of you, when I subject the listener at home to these beautiful ramblings of truth and beauty, I gotta get new adjectives. It's a fun time. It's a fun time, and we're growing together. That being said, I'm incredibly tired, and a lot has happened. A lot has happened in my life. A lot has happened. Well, not really in my life. I just edit other people's stuff. We'll get to that in a second. Since the last show has happened, last recorded show has happened, I got to see an artist that I've loved since I was 12 years old, and I got to see that artist with my wife. That's a normal thing, right? But that artist is Trent Reznor in Nine Inch Nails. I got to go see Nine Inch Nails, and it was amazing. And so I brought my wife to the Nine Inch Nails show, and I never thought I'd get to say that into a microphone and mean it. And it was amazing. It was cool. It was amazing to see a 48-year-old man still yell horrible lyrics about God and or money, and he's almost a billionaire. It's fantastic. He's part of Beats by Dre. Did you guys know that? He's even richer than you thought. He's incredibly rich. And here's the thing. You can't just pretend to be Trent Reznor. Now, I tried to pretend to be Kurt Cobain for a lot of years. That's why I quit sports. I mean, I tried to be Billy Corgan. It's not that hard to be Billy Corgan. Billy Corgan's the one guy where I could let my weight go even further and I'd still be okay. But Trent quit heroin and got ripped, and I'm currently holding the microphone like Trent Reznor. You know how much I've wanted to do this my entire fucking life? You know how absurd this looks? Very, very absurd. That's not a healthy thing for an adult man to have in its head. It's not even okay for Trent. You think Trent Reznor goes at home and just poses in front of the mirror? All like, it's sort of a football stance for a wide receiver that also has a microphone stand, and he's got to throw it at his drummer really quick, or that defensive coordinator is going to fucking know the play coming up. If that makes sense, good. We're best friends. Speaking of best friends, it's my best friend Max Cohen's birthday. Give it up for him. I gotta call him. Shit, I'm a bad best friend. Anyways, I just got to see Nine Inch Nails, and it was great. And here's the cool thing about seeing Nine Inch Nails with your wife. What? That's awesome. If you do that, you get to meet up with another married couple. What's the odds of that? 1-to-1. Very good odds. It's a wonderful thing to do. I highly recommend that you do it. But that's weird. That's weird. And I asked the other lovely woman that was there, like, have you seen Nine Inch Nails? No. Do you think these two women would have, chosen to go see Nine Inch Nails in an arena filled with smelly guys that have moderate to good jobs? No, they wouldn't do that. They would do anything else. But they are wonderful women. And what do? I just get fat. Guys, I'm getting fat. It's not good. When I ordered this suit coat online, it fit. When it showed up, it didn't. Things have changed in the past few weeks. Guys, it's not going well. It's not going poorly either. It's hard to complain when it's just all free booze every night. You want some more free booze? Yeah, and then I complain about it like a bitch? No, I'm incredibly grateful for your free booze. Thank you so much. Please, it's killing me slowly, killing him softly. Remember her? She's in jail. 2/3 of that band went to jail. That's crazy. That's a lot of people in one band in jail. I have a wonderful job. I love, love, love my job. I work for this company called Brightest Young Things. You may know it as the thing you hate in Washington, D.C. It's fantastic. And because I work at Brightest Young Things, I get to go to shows like Nine Inch Nails. And then the following week, I get to go to a Halloween party called Twerk or Treat. Guys, I'm 30. I'm a 30-year-old adult man going to Twerk or Treat. Not single. Don't do blow. Why am I there? I work there. That's my job, ladies and gentlemen. I love what I do. I'm proud of what I do. That was a fun fucking party. You know how many people I saw twerk? 4. That's it. There was 990 people there. I saw 4 twerking. They're normal people, guys. Stop judging. If you are going to judge, judge me. Here's what I did. I'm incredibly important. What I did was I took all my Nine Inch Nails love and devotion and turned it into the most creative costume / world changer ever to be seen. Well, The Crow is on the soundtrack to a remarkable 1994 film, and it's called The Crow. The Crow, The Crow, The Crow, The Crow, Nine Inch Nails, The Crow. So I dressed up as the Juggacrow. What's that, you might ask? Well, fucking idiot, catch up! It's half Juggalo, half Crow. I was murdered at the gathering, and I came back to avenge my fiance's murder. It can't rain all the time. That's a line from the movie. Hence, go fucking YouTube that. And that is the funniest line in 1994 cinema. The fucking pseudo-dead man goes into a preteen's bedroom and just says, can't rain all the time. That's in a movie that made a lot of money, that spawned 4 sequels, a TV show, and they're reviving it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still holding the microphone like Trent Reznor. It's not good. So I was the Juggacrow, which means more and more parties. Once again, I'm not trying to complain about parties. I'm literally complaining about parties, and I'm very, very sorry for that. Last night, I pretended to meet Mr. Rogers on stage at the Black Cat. The Black Cat is a famed legendary club. It holds about 700 people in the upstairs room. And I threw candy to those 700 people, ladies and gentlemen, because it was Halloween, the devil's night, once again, the crow. When you throw candy to the crowd, one of the things you should expect is for the crowd to throw candy back at you. I did not expect this to happen. I thought I was giving people nice things like sugar and diabetes and treats, but they said, no, fuck you guy pretending to be Mr. Rogers, and I got hit in the fucking head with a Reese's Pieces really hard from 10 feet away, and I saw the little fucker that did it, and it was an ugly little fucker. You fucking, that's why you're at the Black Cat on Halloween and not having sex, you ugly fuck. You have, what's wrong with you people? Not you people, the people from last night. I got to get that off my chest, guys. When you're dressed like Mr. Rogers, you really don't want to call the crowd a bunch of pieces of shit, but you end up doing it. And you're like, why did I dress like Mr. Rogers so I wouldn't call everyone a piece of shit? Things change, guys. You got to catch up. Obamacare's taking over. It's killing this nation. Going back to today. Today was a very important day for the company that I work at. It was an important day for myself. I woke up at 7 a.m. to edit our feature. Our feature goes up at 9 a.m. I got home from the Black Cat at 2, I fell asleep at 3. I'm going to die doing what I love. It's a great problem, but it's a problem nonetheless. Anyways, I edited 2,000 words of text, very well-written text, about an experience that a person had making a porn. Now, I completely respect that person that made that film. I do. Don't fucking laugh, Sadie. You're a guest on this show. Be nice, Sadie. I like how I yelled at the wonderful woman spending her evening with us on the stage holding a ukulele like she's the enemy. I'm very sorry. I got hit in the head with a Reese's Pieces. A cup. Not a Pieces. A Reese's cup. I'm sorry. One little piece. Not a big deal. A fucking cup. Could have left a mark. What if that left a mark? That'd be a delightful mark. And Jezebel picked up that piece. The piece is about having sex with James Dean, the dead actor. She fucked a dead man. And that's what people are up in arms. And it's funny because I'm getting shit on, and I'm like, maybe we shouldn't have published this. Like, maybe this is, like, lewd and crude. Maybe it's not just an acceptance of, like, how it should be. Maybe this is going to hurt us in the long run. And then about a half an hour before I left to come to this show, I got an email from the White House. Not joking. I got an email from the White House. Why are you saying, oh, God? What are you... If it's bad, they don't email you, by the way. It's going to be fine. I kind of gave away the lead there. I submitted press credentials today to go see the Chicago Blackhawks meet President Obama because I'm from there and I work for British Young Things, an organization whose current feature is about fucking James Dean. And I got approved for credentials. So on Monday, I'm going to the White House to meet my favorite team, to meet my favorite president. That's not a joke. Fuck you guys. He's from Chicago. Shaitan till I die. Kanye again. God damn it. Really quick. Last night, I did material at the Black Cat tying together Mr. Rogers and Kanye West as a god. Not one of those 700 people liked any of that. I did it three times. I kept doing it. He is a god. I get to go to the White House. We published an essay about fucking James Dean. I'm right. We're right. This is the best time ever. I'm going to die on stage, but it's going to be fantastic. I'd like to apologize to my wife. I've been a real dick for 3 weeks. It's going to hopefully get better. Sometimes it doesn't, though, guys. Bullies, right? Sadie's going to play songs. We're going to have a lot of guests tonight. Oh, we have so many. I should have made that monologue a lot shorter, but I didn't, and I can't cut it because it doesn't make sense if I do. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together once again for Sadie Dingfelder, everybody. Sadie!
Oh, baby, baby. How was I supposed to know that something wasn't right here? Oh, baby, baby, I shouldn't have let you go. And now you're out of sight, yeah. Show me how you want it to be. Tell me, baby. 'Cause I need to know now what we've got. My loneliness is killing me, and I must confess, I still believe when I'm not with you, I lose my mind. Give me a sign. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Thank you, Sadie. We have a guest on stage. His name is Wes. How are you,
hey.
Wes?
Hey, doing good.
Wes, you were at the Twerker Treat
party. I was at the Twerker Treat party.
Why were you at the Twerker Treat party?
I was at the Twerker Treat party. Wow, that's really hard to say. Try and say it a few
twerk
times. Twerk
or treat. Twerk or treat.
Maybe I just can't speak very well. Sorry.
You sound great.
Oh, thanks. So I was at the Twerker Treat party to see one of Brooklyn's best bands, Avant La Va.
Okay.
Because they make me twerk, even when I don't realize it. I'm twerking right now.
Are you trying to sell the band to the listener at home?
No.
Okay. You like this band.
I do enjoy this band.
Yes.
Really like this band.
And how do you know this band?
How do I know this band? I've known this band now for 2 years. I'd like to call them good friends at this point.
Okay.
They've put up with me for 2 years. They're pretty good friends
and
at this point.
You're not a casual fan. You have something that's related to music.
I do something related to music. I am the editor-in-chief of the Grammy music site, kickkicksnare.com. So we cover electronic and dance music for Grammy. Notice I did not say EDM. We cover electronic and dance music.
Wait, is EDM just not recognized by Grammy, or does a separate blog do that?
I just refuse to call it EDM.
Why? It only makes perfect sense. It's an acronym for electronic dance music.
It is, but now it's just become like a placeholder for music that really shouldn't really be considered electronic dance music.
Why does that bother you? And why are people clapping? Why? Seriously, why does that bother you?
Because electronic dance music covers such a wide range. You've got Donna Summer. Could be electronic dance music.
No, she's disco.
Yeah, but it's electronic dance music. There's synthesizers, and you're dancing to
it. So you're saying anything with a synthesizer could be considered EDM?
To a point, it's such a wide range. But now EDM has become such a fixated, tiny point in American pop culture.
Is it really? Is it sweeping the nation? I'm sorry, I'm being a dick.
No,
okay.
I don't know. I
didn't realize it was like a. I thought it was accepted. Like you could just say it, and it was totally fine.
I mean, you can, but I've done my best to fight it as much as I can.
Okay, so you're the curmudgeon.
Maybe I'm just the curmudgeon that doesn't like electronic dance music.
But you like
electronic music.
And you like dance music, and you like when there's electronics in dance music.
I like all of those things.
I love coconuts and I love spicy food. I just fucking hate Thai curries.
Thai curries are really good.
Yeah, I know. That's why I said that in a microphone for posterity's sake. Anyways, your site, Kick Kick Snare, it covers electronic music.
That you also dance to.
Dance music, but not EDM.
Yes.
What's the benefit of being a Grammy website? Completely serious.
The benefit of a Grammy website is not only you get to go to the Grammys, which is kind
is
of
it
exciting.
Fun? Is honestly,
I've never gotten to go. Actually,
well, then why are you bragging about it? I'm going to the White House to hang out with Barack Obama.
Sure, rub that.
Barack Hussein Obama, Obamacare. Right, guys.
You know, I might get to go to the Grammys, and maybe I'll hang out with Miley, and maybe we'll twerk.
Do you want to hang out? Would you want to hang out with Miley? Or you'd be like, you're a fucking kid. You're a baby. You're such a baby, baby.
I would not want to hang out with Miley Cyrus. Although I do have to give her some credit. She dressed up as Little Kim and was actually smart enough not to do blackface.
That's the bar we're at?
For Miley Cyrus, yes.
I think Miley's great. Anybody that's been
And why do you think Miley's great?
Because she was in David Lynch's... was she in Lost Highway? Or was she in Mulholland Drive? She was in Mulholland Drive. And she was in... With her dad. Were they together? Or no, she was in Big Fish. Well, then now I hate her. I thought she was in a David Lynch film. I am so sorry, Miley.
Very
I'm very sorry.
Questions we had to ask.
I'm indifferent to Miley. She's a kid.
She is a kid. I will give her that. She's a kid. She's experimenting. She's doing what we all did at... God, the things I did at 20, if that was broadcast.
Let's talk about those.
No, let's not.
You didn't have access to a wrecking ball. You didn't have access to Terry... You didn't have access to Terry Richardson. You could have if you tried hard enough.
No, I don't have a vagina.
Yeah, why not?
I really like my penis. Remember, I'm a serious journalist, everyone. Serious journalist.
Do you call yourself a journalist?
I have my moments.
I mean,
I do technically have an Emmy for investigative journalism, so I guess I technically am a journalist.
It's throwing big terms around like Emmy. What's your Emmy in? Investigative journalism.
Long form. I beat Anderson Cooper. I'd like to point that out.
Why?
I beat the Silver Fox.
Keep talking about this. This is more interesting than music. No offense, music. Go!
For National Geographic Television, I was...
What was the piece?
Gorilla murders. We covered the...
That's real shit!
Yeah, they don't just give you that big gold thing for nothing. Well, sometimes they do.
Is it a dick thing? He's laughing.
I'm laughing and slightly blushing.
That's right. Did you go to the high heel race, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Did you see the big gold dick helmet?
I did see the big gold dick helmet.
See? That's a callback to dick helmets.
Because that's a common thing?
No, I just had to edit the photos.
What do you two do at home?
Watch.
I mean, I'm not judging. This is a sex-positive place. There'll be no such thing.
What if it wasn't? What if it was like fucking conservative?
That would be really awkward for me.
That's how bad I am at doing impressions. My impression of a conservative was to go, I'm a fucking conservative. Oh, no.
But you know what? You did it pretty well.
I should take a class.
Very convincing. Very convincing on that.
Did you hear that there are improv classes? So you won an investigative journalism Emmy?
Yeah.
And you do this kick snare thing for what?
Because I just couldn't stop thinking about music. It's my passion. It's what I love doing.
You sound like a really well-rounded individual.
Oh, my mom would be so proud to hear you say that.
I hope she doesn't listen. if she does? Anyways.
She's going to listen and she's going to hear all of this. Hi, Mom.
Well, that's the one. You've raised a wonderful son. He's got an Emmy at doing work that actually helps the world, and he's bringing bands and artists that most people probably would never know to the listeners.
And that's
of
one
kids.
Thing that I really love to do is I like to find the music and musicians that make me happy, that make me want to just yell to everyone, you should listen to this. And that's really what started with Kick Kick Snare. I've been going to shows at 930 Club since I was 15. Yes, that was probably right after it switched over to the new location, so I'm dating myself a little bit, everyone.
You're 30.
Yeah, I feel old. A lot of these kids making music now are Miley Cyrus.
Is that weird? Because it's weird when you meet people and you're like, oh, you're a great artist. You're younger than me.
Yeah, you're younger than me. You're a great artist. You've had a number one, like Lorde, 16, number one worldwide hit.
Yeah.
And is more aware of herself than I think probably everyone in this room.
Did you see what I just said? I'm the most aware. I'm silly. I'm a silly gent.
He is very aware, everyone.
I know what I'm doing. It's stupid. It's fun. It's flippant. How does someone that isn't a musician, that doesn't really make a lot of money doing this, care about new music? Like, how do you not just get stuck in the old patterns?
Well, I think that for me, I've always been curious and inquisitive myself. Mm-hmm. So like that, I've got that spark. But the way that you want to find music is, you want to hear something new. You want to hear something exciting. You want to hear something different. You don't want to hear the same song you've heard four or five times that's being popped out. You want to discover something for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm usually doing. And finding it through going to live shows, hearing what my friends are listening to, of course, blogs.
What if you have really boring friends?
That sucks for you.
But that's completely fair. Like, I got a lot of...
Maybe you need to reevaluate your friends?
What? If you're basing your friends on their listening habits, that's horrible.
I do, kind of.
Do you really?
A little bit.
That's going to limit your friendship.
It does. It provides some awkward conversations considering some of the gay boys I hang out with.
Why are you mean? That's a very mean thing to do.
It's not very mean. It's truthful. Why should I hide who I really am? You can't handle me at my Lindsay Lohan. You don't deserve me.
You're not making the music. You just like a thing.
I'm not making the music, but at some point, like with Avon Lavoie, not dropping a name again, you know, they are now friends of mine and they make great music.
Mm-hmm. Will you nominate them for a Grammy?
I actually have no say on whether you're nominated for a Grammy.
Then how are you a Grammy site? How does that work?
Well, we raise awareness in that if you are featured on our site and on we do features on Grammy as well, you're then within the earshot of Grammy.
So if you do like four features on Avon Lavoie, there's a good chance that somebody on the Grammy committee will know.
Well, they've been written up on Grammy thanks to me and have been written up a few times in Kick Kick Snare, so some on the Grammy board will hear.
Could
them
we
know
make
they
are. Up an artist and try to get him Grammy nominated?
I believe that's probably been done a few times.
Let's do it now.
Wasn't that, what was that guy, Lye Weasel or Al Weiser or whatever, who was nominated?
Let's make it happen.
I mean, you can just pay the $700 and you can be part of the Grammy.
I don't want to spend money.
Oh, yeah.
Could they pay me?
Maybe convince them. I mean, you are writing and covering Obama.
Yeah, I am.
I mean, you got that.
It's so silly. This is stupid. Everything's stupid. Everything's stupid and wonderful.
I mean, clearly you're doing something right.
We just write about dicks and like, here's some press passes to the White House. No one cares. It's the best. My life's pretty great. 1 to 10. How's yours?
About 9, 9.5.
That's pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
You're a winner.
I'm doing all right. I get to go see shows all the time. often very much for free, which I can't argue with.
By the way, if you're listening to this at home or you're in the room, all you have to do is email the publicist and say you're going to write about it. You don't even have to tell them where you're from. And if they really check, make something up. Who gives a shit? They don't care.
No, they usually don't care.
Everyone can get into anything for free. Just go.
I would say if you do it more than once, they will get suspicious.
No, they don't. There's interns. Don't worry about it. Just go. It's fun. Fucking abuse it. Go nuts. Buy a drink. Tip the bartender. Who cares?
Yeah, always tip your bartender. Very important.
That's right, Dario.
We got you. Don't worry, Dario.
What if he was worried? Okay, people should go to Kick Snare.
I think you should go to Kick Snare.
It's updated regularly. Here's a good thing. You can prove your worth to see if they're at any good by going to one of the shows that you're producing. You have a show that's coming up.
I do have a show coming up. Actually, we're bringing Jupiter, a French disco, maybe electronic-type dance music, to 918's, so Living Social's 918 F Street on November 13th. God, I can't get any of my dates right.
November 13th,
Living Social's 918 F Street, which is, if you're unaware, in Penn Quarter in Washington, D.C.
It's a great spot.
It's a great spot. So Jupiter is this great new disco duo from France, girl, guy, very cute, very sexy, very dancey, along with D.C.'s local Ploy. And Caleb Latoile will be DJing before and after and during and making us all dance. So it's going to be a good show. We've also got 4 more in D.C. and 2 more in Brooklyn.
All Living Social spaces?
No, they are not Living Social spaces. We're actually doing a showcase at Brooklyn Night Bazaar on the 16th of November.
Okay.
With Slow Nights, which is Del Marquis from Scissor Sisters' new band, Bright Light, Bright Light, Heloise and the Savoir Fair, and the Soundmen will be DJing. So if you're in Brooklyn, there's a lot going on.
I've heard that. Are you worried that the Living Social space might close by the time the show happens?
We haven't confirmed the January dates, so
shit.
We'll see.
Yeah, so go while you can. It's an awesome space. He's
it's an
awesome
amazing
man.
Space. You should go before it closes.
That's the worst plug. Oh, no. Yeah, fuck him. All right. Thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having
me. You're a very nice man.
It.
Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Wes De La Vola. Find him on Kick Snare. Sadie, play some tunes.
When you were here before, couldn't look you in the eye. You're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather in a beautiful world. I wish I was special.
I'd like to point out that Sadie's currently playing special. Creep by Radiohead, featured predominantly in the trailer for The Social Network, scored by Trent Reznor, so I get to hold the microphone like this one more time. Coming to the stage is a very, very funny man. He did 8x8, a show that we do at the Looking Glass Lounge for the first time the other week. And he was great. And so I asked him to be here, and it's his first time on the show, and I'm very, very happy to him to be... Oh, bad talking me. Coming to the stage, please put your hands together for Howard Lester, everybody. Howard, the stage is yours. Yay!
How we doing? Everybody's good? Give it up for Brandon Weatherby, please. Wow. Half-hearted. Give it up for yourselves. Okay, self-hating crowd. I know where I'm going with this. Sometimes music makes people feel better. I see that they love you. So I'm going to do a little song of my own. You ready? You can back me up if you know this, okay? It's my favorite song. I only know 2 lines of it, so it's going to be really short. And so here it is. You ready? Come on, get ready, girl. What are you doing? Bitch, bitch, shake that monkey. I bet she don't wiggle like that with a dick in her. Thank you. Okay. Now give it up for yourselves. All right, I know you love it now. You ever told somebody to fucking die and they did? Yeah, me either. But it's like there was passion and conviction in my voice. Drop the fuck dead. They never get it. They never fucking get it. Is that too dark for you all? Did anybody bring their feelings tonight? Because you probably shouldn't have done that with me here. My name is Howard Lester. In the future, don't bring your feelings. Wonderful. Everybody get wasted for Halloween? How many of you white folks were in blackface? Be honest. Be honest. I dressed up for Halloween as Nat Turner. Go ahead, Google that at your leisure. And that's pretty much how I roll. Fucking blackface killer. Just signed to Wu-Tang. Pretty sweet. No? Yeah, fine. Okay, I'll wait. I'll wait. We can take pauses and all that good stuff. Next holiday is Thanksgiving. Woo! Fuck that, fuck that, fuck that. I don't have a problem with fat people per se. I just think that I was deceived growing up. You know, all these tales of Santa, Saint Nick, Chris Kringle. You know, whatever other alias he has. He's a con artist, let's be real. But I was raised to think that, you know, all fucking fat people were, you know, jolly and happy and no ho ho come in with a sack on their back, you know. Not a sack that you can smoke, but still a good sack. And that's not the reality anymore. I used to work with this chick. She was only nice when she was quiet. She was only quiet when she was eating. She was eating all the time, but she still found time to be a bitch. You know what I'm saying? We were training together. She would come in with this fucking big sack on her back. See how I get the Santa Claus thing, you see? And not a sack you could smoke either. But she would just set it down and be pulling out 6-foot subs and shit. Wings. And she just like mayonnaise and wing sauce dripping down her face. We all sitting there just staring, waiting on her to drop a piece of meat on the ground, swatting flies from our face like Somalians. You know, you white people know about Somalians. Because you always want to give them rice and shit, 39 cents a day. You know what I'm saying? And we all sitting there watching her, and then she take a big gulp of her Diet Coke. Who the fuck said, you all right, player? Okay. Who said that Diet Coke was aerobics in liquid form? And big gulps are different on this coast than they are on the West Coast, because on the West Coast, they're like propane tank size. It is filled up with Diet Coke. Diabetes. Trick or treat. Happy Thanksgiving. Merry fucking Christmas. All right, enough about. So I'm a transplant in the area. I'm not from here. And I found out the hard way that the hardest part about moving is not, you know, packing. It's not the drive. It's not unpacking, putting the shit away. It's finding a new drug dealer. Because there's no app for that. Yeah, you can't Google search drug dealers closest to my location. Get a list. I mean, you can, but they give you like Jerk Pit, Golden Dragon. I'm not really sure what these people are cooking with, but they don't sell eighths. Pauses. That's fine. Eighths. Bags of weed. I don't know. Is that too urban? All right. We're moving on. Moving on then. So I saw something interesting the other day. You're going to love this. A What Would Jesus Do bracelet. Right! That was me. I was like, wait a minute. This is pretty fucking strange. And to me, I feel like anybody wearing one, it might as well say, I lie on Jesus. Because these people really don't give a fuck about Jesus. They're horrible people. What would Jesus do? Not really sure. Never met him. Pretty sure, though, he wouldn't be involved in a three-way with a guy and a chick with a strap on and a DP scene. Right. That's where I saw this. X2 put some crazy shit up, I'm just saying. I said I saw something interesting. Are you not keeping up with me? We can take more pauses, whatever you need. I don't really know where I'm going with this. Okay, so my mom is a complete fucking retard. It's fine. You don't have to feel any type of way about that. I'm pretty sure. She grew up at a time where her mom probably didn't know to get her tested, is what I'm thinking. And then my father took advantage of that. So, long to the short is, I grew up born to a mom who's retarded and a dad who's a whore and preys on retarded people. You might have seen this on SVU. I swear it wasn't ripped from the headlines because I haven't told anybody until tonight. I haven't. She's a nice chick. So I'm a big old homo, I know. You're like, why? And I'm like, because vagina made me gay. And no, really, vagina did make me gay because my mom only has two kids. We're both Moes. So vagina, birth canal-ish, really did make me gay. And you hear the stories. I grew up with the stories, great stories, of how when my mom gave birth to me, she felt no pain. You know what I'm saying? I was 8 pounds, 6 ounces. My sister was 9 pounds, 6 ounces. But I feel like it was because I was more in a Matrix type of feel, like no labia kind of deal. Just slide out real easy. And my sister was just like, this feels right. She stayed for a little longer. Maybe that's why she's my mom's favorite. I don't know what happens from the inside. I just, you know, I took a fucking health class. I know what happens from the outside. For me, it's vomit. I have vaginal allergies. You know, coughing, sweating, heavy breathing, temporary blindness, temporary hearing loss. Vomit, and then crying profusely in a corner with one candle lit and Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You playing on repeat in the background. I have that same allergy to cats. I guess you could say I am not a fan of pussy of any kind because it will kill me, ultimately. So God made me. She's a horrible person. And that's why she's alone. There's no Mr. God. You can Google that. So, yeah. How's everybody doing? You good? Good. Me too. Thanks for asking, whores. And so, and then where do we go from here? Okay, so I'm going to wrap it up with this. Anybody who still watch MTV here?
Yeah.
You do? Sweet. So I get high. Sometimes I lose the remote. It's not a problem. I'm losing the remote. My weed problem probably is. But I got stuck on Parental Control the other day. Do you love this show? I love this show. But every time I watch it, I'm like, I could never be on this show. Because there would be dead children all over the United States. Like, my boyfriend could never sit next to me or sit on my parents' couch and call them fat or bitches. Because my mom, remember, she's the retard. The show would change dynamics completely in a half hour. It would go from Parental Control to Glow. Everybody's under fucking 30. Okay. Gorgeous ladies of WWE divas to fucking Snapped to Cops all in a half hour. And then they'd be dragging my mom out with her face all blurred up because she ain't signing shit. I'm pretty sure she don't know how to spell her name. And she would just be like, I bet you that bitch don't wiggle like that with a dick in her. And that's my time. I'm Howard Lester.
I'll call back, everybody. Howard Lester. Sit down, buddy. Sit down. Really quick. No, you're great. Don't apologize. Has your mom ever seen you perform?
No.
Perfect. You're from Cleveland.
Ohio, yeah.
Good job leaving.
Native Americans.
Yeah, that's great.
Cleveland Native Americans.
No, Indians.
No, Indians.
You're great. You're fun. Do you think you're fun?
I don't know.
You're fun. All right. I want to see you on a date, but I don't want to be on the date with you. Does that make sense?
What?
I kind of want to just... yeah, I don't know. That was weird. I just want to see how you interact on a date, and I hope you do a lot of material.
I get a lot of my material from dates.
I just want to be... I don't want to be in the date because that'd be really uncomfortable for me, but I would love to watch a feed of it. Could you make that happen?
Yes, I can.
Fantastic.
Are you okay with that, Mikey? Probably
no.
Not.
It's not. Okay. People should follow you on Twitter.
Yes. HowardLester_RB.
Why RB?
Rare breed.
Oh, not running back.
Because I'm not a gay. I'm a homo. So it's a different type of person.
We got to come on the show and talk about that the next time.
Yeah.
Because I don't know the difference. Sorry. I think we're all just people, man, right? Stuff goes into stuff. Isn't it just cool?
Well, stuff does go into stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff's also my favorite magazine.
Where do you stuff it?
Fun! You're so much fun! We're having fun, guys! We have way too much show. I'm going to have to make you leave now. Oh. You're fucking awesome. People should follow you on Twitter. You got any shows you want to plug?
He's got
a show coming up that he's going to plug right now.
I'm at Townhouse on Monday, and I'm at Solly's with Haywood on Tuesday.
And Haywood is coming up soon-ish, so thank you so much for doing this. You're so funny. People should buy him drink. You drink alcohol, obviously.
Buy him a drink. Or smoke me up.
Smoke him up, everybody! Woo-hoo! Smoke him up, guys! Drugs, drugs, drugs! Sadie, play him off! Hey, that was fucking awesome.
When I first met Doreen, she was barely 17. She was drinking whiskey sours in the bar. The way she tossed him back, I would have had a heart attack. But as it were, I let her drive my car. We galloped through the boroughs like a pair of horny thoroughbreds until I said, stop the car, Doreen. Well, you can roll your eyes and nod, but I swear that I saw God in the moonlight in a side street in the wreckage we call Queens.
Sadie, everybody, that was very delightful. One of the things, one of the reasons why I like doing this show is sometimes people that I think are kind of outside of my echelon show up and get the things off their chest that they can't get on network TV and talk about, and one of those individuals is here. I'm a very, very big fan of him. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Russell Brand, everybody! Russell, thank you for doing the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
You're currently on your Messiah Complex tour. You're one of my favorite stand-up comedians. You think you're just fantastic.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Now, you recently you had an interview on BBC, and it went sort of viral. You started talking about some interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Brandon. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So for the people at home that haven't heard what you've talked about, what are some of the things that you talked about during that interview?
Basically, Brandon, people know me.
Absolutely.
Russell Brand. People know me, they say Russell, you were married to Katy Perry.
Yes.
Okay? You were a silly comedian.
Yes.
Yes. You made a Dudley Moore movie, and it was impossible to watch.
Yeah, Arthur wasn't. We're talking about the remake of Arthur, everybody. Okay, of course.
It was horrible.
It's a horrible film that you made.
It was horrible.
Bad film that you made.
Absolutely.
Understood. But you've done some other stuff.
Right now, at this stage in my career...
The stage in your career, you're in an interesting crossroads.
At this stage in my career, I'm on. I don't want to talk about funny hee hee ha ha.
No.
I want to talk about a revolution, baby.
A revolution, baby.
A revolution, baby. That's what I'm talking about. Talking about a revolution, baby. That's right.
What's part of the revolution?
Well, if you saw my film, Rock of Ages.
I saw the film.
I was talking about a revolution the whole time,
You wrote that movie?
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Did you write any other movies?
See, you got the corporations and you got the politicians, right? And you got the politicians and the corporations. And the corporations are putting their hands in the pockets of the politicians and they're just giving each other OTPHJs the entire time.
Baby. I don't know. Over the top.
Over the top hand job, baby.
Oh, got it. All right.
Yeah, baby.
You say baby
right,
a lot
baby.
More than I remembered. I'm That's cool. So, is that why you came on this show? You didn't want to talk about the DVD release of Arthur that came out 2 years ago? You wanted to talk about...
baby. Well, I did a Google search of the... I did a Google search of... I was in Washington, D.C. trying to start a revolution, baby. And I saw I'm Russell Brand and you're Brandon.
That's true. That's true.
And that's how I found
that
you.
That makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Talking about a revolution, baby. That's right. Yeah, baby.
I always search weather in what city I'm in and see
that's
what shows
right.
up.
See, I'm a classically trained theater actor, baby.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that.
I didn't know that, baby.
And that's what the revolution is about, baby, because a revolution by any other name would smell as sweet, baby. That's right, baby.
It would smell sweet, baby?
Yeah.
Oh, baby. Okay.
See, you see, these people, they say, Rasu, okay? You're talking about a revolution. Like, what's a revolution? You don't talk about what the revolution is about.
Exactly.
Right? And for those people, I have one question.
What?
Do I make you horny, baby?
Yes, right? You make a lot of people horny.
Generally speaking, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I do. See, we need to wake the pee-poo up.
How are we going to wake them up?
We need to wake all the pee-poo up.
How do you want to wake them up?
We need to tell them, the Cooperations and the politicians. We say, you're going to hear me roar, okay? You're going to hear me roar, you know?
Are you the inspiration for your ex-wife's classic song? Classic, it's classic. Ones are classic.
What are you talking about?
Your ex-wife, Katy Perry, currently
No, baby. I broke up with her on text message, baby.
What did the text message say?
It said, I'm out.
That's it? It's just that I'm out?
I'm fucking out, bro. Done. Yeah, basically, that's what I said.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate
it. Oh, I'm done right now, baby?
Yeah, we're done. You got any plugs?
Yes. I want to plug this new type of Eastern sex practice. It's called... It's called Do I Make You Horny, Baby?
What does it entail?
Basically, it entails making your body into the letter O.
Okay.
And having a climax. For like 2-3 hours, baby.
Wow. All right, that doesn't make sense.
I was cryogenically frozen, baby.
Give it up for Russell Brand, everybody. Sadie, play him off the stage.
You change your mind like a girl changes clothes.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, you PMS like a bitch, I would know. And you overthink, always speak critically. I should know that you're no good for me. Cause you're hot, then you're cold. You're yes, then you're no. You're in, then you're out. You're up, then you're down. You're wrong when it's right. It's black and it's white. We fight, we break up. We kiss, we make up.
Katy Perry, everybody. Coming to the stage is one of my favorite people. He just got off of a boat, I think. We'll find out very soon. Ladies and gentlemen, for color commentary, one of my favorite people in Washington, D.C., please put your hands together for Haywood Turnipseed Jr. Put your hands together for Haywood, everybody! I would like to point out that the last bit in the entire crux of it was, don't British people have funny voices? Fucking awesome. I loved it. Haywood, how are you?
Good, baby.
You're doing it, too.
How are you, baby?
That's Australian.
Whatever, man.
All right. So I see Haywood. Like,
why you say I get off a boat? Because I'm black. I had to be on a boat.
Where'd you?
On a boat. I was on an island.
I took a
plane
to
get there. No, no, no.
Oh, okay. Well, okay.
There was a cruise.
Then fuck you. You were on a boat.
No, I wasn't.
You didn't go on the cruise?
No. I flew to Aruba and back.
Why?
Because I'm an entertainer.
Okay, so
black. Because I'm a black entertainer.
Thank you. Is that why I wasn't invited?
No, You weren't invited because of the Benson Bar. No, I'm kidding.
No, you're not.
No. It was just something somebody else put together.
Yeah, so we're friends.
I know a lot of people, man.
I know you do.
You're a very cool dude, man.
What the fuck is going on? Okay, you're a very funny person. You come on the show a lot.
Yes.
And I see you almost weekly.
Weekly.
The last time I saw you, you're just goodbye, hello, yes. Normal stuff. 2 days later, I'm seeing photos of you in Aruba.
Oh, that was great.
What the fuck happened?
Oh, it was we went on to Aruba. It was a work trip, man. They invited some comics down to Aruba to perform, and fucking I went. That was it.
What did you, you just perform? Why did you do, why, what, huh? How much you get paid?
Enough.
Good. But you went to perform stand-up comedy in Aruba.
In Aruba.
Because when I think of where I want to perform stand-up comedy, I think of Aruba. Where did you perform?
On a beach.
You performed on a beach?
Yep.
What did you talk about?
Race.
Did they like it?
They loved it. It was the best shit. Do you know, even in Aruba, you know who they check coming in and out of the country? The white people. I was like, I love this country. This shit is awesome. It was great, man. Grits are like an international food aisle. That's how I knew I was.
How long were you there?
Wow, 4 days.
Why was that a wild question? That's a very simple question.
Because my mind is still in Aruba. With that baby I left.
Hey, you're laughing longer than you usually laugh on this show.
Color commentary is very interesting tonight. Because usually we talk about color commentary. We talk about things through the eyes of race. And we're going to talk about this Aruba trip through the eyes of race. It was awesome, man. It was like 200 black people who just left the country to have a party. And I was like,
mostly Americans.
Well.
I'm asking. I don't know.
African Americans. There's always one white person.
Was there one white person?
Yeah, hanging out. Yes. All these black people like gentrified a beach. I'm serious. They gentrified a beach. Like all the baby Hennessys and baby cigars are missing throughout Aruba. I'm serious. Everybody who lives in a gentrified neighborhood know what I'm talking about. All the cigarillos was fucking missing. Everybody, all the niggas was buying goddamn all the little baby cigars and baby Hennessys. All the travel Hennessys and shit. I was like, look at you Jangos have taken over this fucking island. Oh my God. All the white people was like, what band are y'all with?
What did you say?
I was like, the Roots.
Oh shit, I almost knocked my drink over.
It was great, man. It was entertaining because white people like leave. It's like a timeshare, they leave so they don't have to go through that shit, especially during the fall. Like, what niggas traveling during the fucking fall and winter? Most people travel, most black folks travel during, you know, Memorial Day weekend to South Carolina, to Atlanta, and to All-Star weekend, wherever that's at.
Those are the only three times black people travel.
Well, you would think, but apparently there's this secret travel group, this Illuminati version of a travel group that needed some entertainment. And they was like, hey, bring a couple Negroes down. And it was awesome, man. They just like, when I say they gentrified a beach, I mean they gentrified a beach. It was just like barbecue chicken and cocoa butter every goddamn where. It was hilarious. It was awesome. I loved it.
Did you get to bring your family?
It was a work trip.
Oh. Sounds like a lot of work.
It was a work trip.
What did your wife think?
She thought it was great. She was like, yo, this is awesome.
Yeah, go
like,
make money.
Like, imagine, like, you're performing today, right? And Brandon says, hey, sweetheart, I got this show at the Kennedy Center. Would you like to be a part of it? Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's exactly what that was.
Good.
Same shit. Good. Remember that show I wasn't a part of at the Kennedy Center?
I wonder why you weren't at the show at the Kennedy Center.
I'm just teasing him. Because everybody else teases Brandon right now. Like, you have a... Like, people teasing you right now, man. Why, you were teasing me because I was talking to your wife in the back.
No, I was trying to get you to shut up.
Oh. I love you, man. Like,
I love you, too.
You're like a great, like, dude.
You're better than me. Okay.
And very funny.
Medium.
But you haven't taken me to Aruba yet.
I know. I got to fucking step up. I feel bad now.
No, I'm kidding, man. It was great. It was a great trip.
Are you busy tomorrow? Like, do you have plans with the kids or with the wife? You want to...
What, during the day or...
During the day.
I'm doing a show like at night.
Yeah, go to this haunted house during the day.
Oh, this would be awesome, man.
Yeah, man. That's it.
Cool. We went to a haunted house. We saw a horror movie the other day.
Where?
12 Years a Slave.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Haywood Turnipsey Jr. You can see him at Sally's. You can see him at the Wonderland Ballroom. You can see him everywhere. Follow him on Twitter under the name Woody Seed. Coming to the stage is a good friend of ours, and we're going to do a brand new segment. Ladies and gentlemen, please play Mountain City. Please put your hands together for Andrew Bucket, everybody. I hope he's in the room or it's going to be weird. Here we go.
Washington, D.C., it's paradise to me. It's not because it is the grand old seat. Yes. A precious freedom and democracy, oh no, no. It's not the greenery turning gold and fall, the scenery circling the mall. It's just that's where my baby lives, that's all.
Great, so good.
What are you, what
give her a hand, that was gorgeous.
What was that devil music?
That was Washington, D.C. by the Magnetic Fields.
Oh.
They write songs for cities. It's kind of a underhanded play by them, I think, but it works. They did one in San Francisco. Go back to San Francisco. Do you know that one?
No. I'll learn it for next time.
All right.
Okay, Andrew, why are you on the show tonight?
Brandon, I usually come on here wearing my comedy hat, but I think I'm here tonight wearing it. I wear many hats, as you know. I think I'm here tonight wearing a bit of a serious hat.
Yes, you are.
No, it's true. I'm not being facetious. I'm here to promote my advice column.
That's true. What's the column called?
This is real. I'm not kidding. Okay, so before I started doing stand-up comedy, just almost 2 years ago, I used to have an advice column on BYT about, I don't know, I was like 25, so this is like 4 or 5 years ago, and we're going to reboot it.
What's it called?
It's called In Reality with Uncle Bucket.
What, Uncle?
At the time, I don't know, I guess it was obviously a sort of a pun on Uncle Buck, the great John Candy film. And
he didn't give advice in that movie, though, did he?
Yes, he did. No, he was like a mentor to Macaulay and to the slutty 16-year-old girl, and to they made pancakes with shovels and stuff. Like it was all types of advice being dispensed by the Jay Candy. And you know, my name's Bucket, and I thought Uncle Bucket, whatever. I'm your uncle. I don't ever really want to have kids. I just want to be somebody's cool uncle.
Well, that's a great... Let's start with this question.
Sure.
I want to have kids.
Okay.
What's an appropriate time to have kids if you're not in a stable job?
If you're not in a... don't have kids if you're not in a stable job.
But what is a stable job?
A stable job means that you have the dispendable income to support another person beside yourself. Like, you shouldn't have kids as a means... You should have kids when... It's just like having a fucking dog. Okay, start with a... This is like what they do with addicts. They're like... Okay, you're an addict, you're an alcoholic, okay? When is it appropriate time to have in a relationship? They say start with a plant. If that plant lives for a year, get a dog. If that dog lives and you still keep it for 3 years, maybe it's time to start thinking about having a serious relationship with a person that you need to be responsible for. Then, after that, if you're responsible for that relationship and your dog and your plant all at the same time and you're paying your rent in this place wherever you're fucking living, then maybe you can have a fucking child that you have to take care... You know they don't ever go away. They're fucking alive forever. A child is not just somebody that... you know what I mean? It's not a plant. Oh, it died. Get another plant. No, it's a human being.
That's a very responsible answer.
Fuck,
so,
yeah.
So how long do I need a dog before I have the kid? You said 3 years.
3 years, you have a healthy, happy dog... And you have a long-term partner that you want to make an investment.
I'm married already.
Sure. Okay, we're talking about you?
Yes. I said the question.
The other thing is, do you have plans to move?
Yes.
So that's another thing. Do you have plans to move? You don't want to fucking uproot a kid from his... A kid should go to the same school. That's an opinion.
For all 8 years?
Fuck yeah.
Grade school, idiots. Then high school's four. Then college is four.
Moving is...
Wait, who's from the same town for 16 years? What's wrong with you people? Oh, lots of people.
Nobody
you have,
is.
You have moms and dads. Okay, I get it.
This came from my own personal experience. I changed... Can I tell you something? Personal?
Yes.
Can I tell you something personal?
What if I said no?
I went to...
Didn't work.
I went to 5 different elementary schools.
Really?
For third grade. That's not a joke.
Why?
I really did. And I was always, because I had a military family, and we were a military during the Cold War. And so we came back from Germany, and then I had to be reintroduced to the American school system. And then the military had us jumping the fuck around. So I changed schools all these times, and I was always so envious of these kids that had lifelong friends that they had known from fucking being, like, retarded kids into, like, full-grown adults going to college. And that is something that I never got to have. And so I was always very... And I always tell people, like, you move a kid once, it's traumatic. So if you're going to have a kid, make sure that you don't have plans to move cities for your career. I mean, it happens, and you can adapt to it if it happens, but don't go into having a kid if you guys know you have career plans to, maybe I'll go to L.A. one day, or maybe I'll go to, like, wherever you're going to go. You know what I mean?
Don't you think that moving so much at a young age made you more approachable to strangers?
It made me a stand-up comic, which is the most fucked up thing you can be.
Agreed. Next question. Hold on, let me pull it up. Serious question. I'm 29, married, and I work on the internet. At what age should I get a real job?
You're 29, married, and you work on the internet. Well, if you're 29 at this point and you work on the internet, it sounds like you are forging your own way in the world, which I think is the new way. And I actually think, I always, whenever I give people advice, or at least I did back when I was doing, and I'm going to start doing it again, but I always would give people career advice as to forge your own way. Nobody's going to fucking take care of you in the future. So in our day and age, you need to carve a niche for yourself and be sort of a modern artisan. And so if you work on the internet, it sounds like you can do whatever you want. You can always have work if you have a specific thing that you do. And so it sounds like you already do have a real job. You just need to stop kidding yourself. You know, you're making a living. A real job, what does that fucking mean? You have a pension?
That's fair. What is a real job?
No, you have what? You get a pension? Somebody, you get to retire at a certain age? No, you're a capable person, and you can do this shit wherever you want, in any city that you want. You work on the internet? That's like the most brilliant fucking ubiquitous thing you can ever do. You can literally go to Starbucks and do it. And those are everywhere.
Here's a question I've been wrestling with.
Okay.
When should you stop following your passion? Completely serious.
Sure. I mean, in the face of what? Like, what do you mean?
You tell me. Like, how long should you pursue something until you stop?
I'll tell you.
Well, here, you... Okay. Wait. Here, let's give you a scenario. You used to be the booker at the Velvet...
Actually, you know what? That's an amazing question. Okay, so I'm almost 30. I thought for a long time I wanted to be a musician, and I did that, and I never got anything out of it. I mean, I did. I love to play music. I always have, but that's not my calling, you know? And you pursue things until you fail, and that's hard to say. You know what? I think it only applies in the creative fields. And what's cool about the creative fields is that they all kind of bleed together. And so what every artist needs to kind of figure out is that you are built and geared toward creation in general. So it doesn't really matter what medium you're pursuing. You know that you want to be a creative person. So you may not be great at music, but you might figure out something through your music that you're good at being funny. And that's kind of what I got to figure out. And now I think I've got a hold on being a funny person, but in all the other fields, you're a lawyer or you're not. You know what I mean? You're a doctor or you're not. You might suck at telling if people are sick. Do you know what I mean? But if you're a creative person, then you are, and that's it. And if that's what you want to be, then great. All the other fields, that's why they don't give you a degree for being an artist. I mean, they kind of do, but everybody knows that it's kind of bullshit. So... whatever. You get a degree for being a doctor, you get to say that you're a doctor. But you're an artist only in your own heart. And so the only field where you should cease to follow your passion is being, I don't know, a doctor. So...
makes sense.
You might be the shittiest doctor, and maybe it's time to pack it in.
Here's the problem, though. We both know a lot of stand-up comics, a lot of musicians.
Sure.
And I'm sure that we think a lot of them should stop.
Yeah,
and I've never said that to anybody, and I've really
neither have I.
And I've wanted to say it, and I don't want to say it in a mean like you fucking suck way, but just like it's not happening, like it's not going to happen. How do you do that?
Okay, so there is there's this thing with being a creative person where in the abstract there's sort of this like weird poisonous kind of thing, like you're going to get famous or get rich about it. That is a reality for some people, and not, but it doesn't really matter in the long run. Like, if people are enjoying what they're doing, if they're not having a shitty time, if it's making them depressed, if they're just like utterly depressed and failing, and
which
just,
is very common,
and not just failing with the audience, failing to themselves. Do you know what I mean? There's a difference between bombing to an audience and bombing to yourself. And so, like, if you're getting up there every night and just hating what you're doing and feeling like you're utterly failing, and it's causing you just all this grief, maybe it's time to just not do that.
But
and you would say that to anybody that's doing anything.
But like, how do you say that?
How do you say it is like, what are you getting out of this? What are you really getting out of this? And it's like, if you're getting up there and nobody is really feeling you, that is obviously, and we history will tell you, the mark of a genius sometimes. But how much do you want it? Do you know what I mean? And it's just a constant question. It's always like this weird scale, like, is your happiness and your fulfillment scale versus your fucking respect from other people scale. And you need to just weigh those things at all times as an artist. And if you can stay in the game as long as you want, and you can do the darkest, dorkiest, fucking grossest rooms in the world ever, as long as you want, there will always be a room for you to perform, but you may not get what you want out of it. And so you just, it's really up to the person. What do you say to them? What are you getting out of this? Are you having fun? Are you still having fun? That's good.
Yeah. I think you've made it really clear, and I'm sure you're thinking of specific individuals. I know I am. And here's the thing.
Adam Friedland.
That's nice, because we could all agree he's good.
Well, yeah.
I just realized what you just said, and this is why I'm glad you're doing this show right now and the column in the future.
Yeah.
I never thought about it that, like, you said sooner or later you're going to find your thing. And in terms of, like, music and stand-up comedy, if you're the only person over 60 and you haven't stopped and you're in the same exact place, you're now the, like, weird avant-garde artist. But you don't know you are.
You may not know, and it may take forever. And if you just... Okay.
But that's okay.
For every,
that's totally fine.
For every weirdo, for every fucking weirdo creeper that you see that's way too old to be at an open mic, I'll show you an Eddie Pepitone. And for every... Do you know what I mean? And for every...
And by the way, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with if you're 60 and doing stand-up at all. No, no, absolutely
no,
not. It's
no.
Just,
there may be, you might be an old man comedian stuck in a young person's body, and you just have to do 40 years of pain, and then you'll get to...
Rodney Dangerfield is
yeah,
a perfect
and then
example.
And then you'll get to be awesome. You might be Vashti Bunyan and get discovered by some young hipster when you're in your 60s, and then you get to be a folk superstar. There is so much potential for people once they realize who they are. Dude, Marc Maron. Look at Marc Maron, who suffered in bitterness for so long.
Wait. Don't say suffered in bitterness. The dude was on Conan for 42 appearances. He suffered in public. Fuck that guy. Kill self. Kanye,
okay,
everybody.
Okay. You're right.
We have to wrap it up because I really want Brendan to play.
No, that's fine.
This was great.
Yeah, no.
This went way better than I thought it was going to go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This was wonderful.
Was this better than my stand-up?
No, you're a fantastic stand-up. Now I'm not going to shit on you.
Thanks for having me. I actually really like this kind of a conversation.
I love it. And
this is the kind of comics get really serious with each other. This is what I felt like we were doing.
It was
anyway,
great. You're really, really good at this, and
thank
I hope
you
do it again.
You.
And
so my column is going to be rebooting in the next couple of weeks. It's going to be on Brightest Young Things. It's called In Reality with Andrew Bucket, and I take. I do very, very long responses full with videos. I prescribe videos and photos, links to essays that maybe you should read. And it's very, 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 you get the full package response from me. I'm better than a therapist.
He's great.
Thank you so much.
Andrew Buck.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm very glad that they're here. This has been the hardest booking of any DC band I've ever had on the show. This is 8 months in the making. I think that's actually fair to say. Is that right?
That's pretty true, yeah.
Thank you very much. And they dress for the occasion, and that's not sarcasm. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my absolute pleasure to introduce Brendan.
Thank you.
Because of this show, it's now back playing with us. So thank you, Dan. This is, in fact, his last show ever.
Never say never.
Well,
Well, we hope so, but we'll see. So for people on the podcast, this is the asshole on the road of the band, but they have fun. We'll be right back.
Yes,
no, we don't have any.
Oh, then you're done.
No, yeah, no, we need to take us off the stage. Yeah.